I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News, where it is time for this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. You've heard us cover the topic of trauma recently on a program, and this week we're highlighting a more specialized patient cohort and their unique needs and challenges. Coming up, a visit to the Center on Trauma and Children in the UK College of Medicine. Dr. Greg recently took a tour of the center with Megan Kohler. She's a clinical social worker and clinician.
The Center on Trauma and Children is part of the College of Medicine here at UK. We are a translational research center working to improve outcomes for kids in Kentucky who've been maltreated, kids who are lingering in foster care. We do research and direct services and training to help prove outcomes for those kids.
And so we're not just talking about physical abuse or neglect. We're also talking about perhaps emotional abuse or neglect of children, anything that could inflict trauma on a child.
Absolutely. It could be anything from like what you described, like physical abuse or profound neglect, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. It could also be experiencing a natural disaster or fleeing a country as a refugee because of war. There are a number of different traumas that we work with.
And of course, bullying in schools is something that we're all becoming more and more aware of as well.
Sure, absolutely. And unfortunately, speaking as a clinician at the center, when I see kids who have moved around a lot because of foster care and they've had to change schools frequently, it's harder for them to make friends, and sometimes they stand out a little bit because they may be emotionally dysregulated, and so they experience a lot of bullying. We see that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I know that in the College of Medicine, some of us, and perhaps your center as well, have been looking at sort of epigenetic phenomenon of physical manifestations of trauma that can actually make children and the adults that they grow into ill.
Absolutely. The ACEs study shows that the more adverse experiences that people experience during childhood can have physical and emotional negative outcomes in adulthood.
So, Megan, what about some of your specific work? What do you focus on in the center?
Well, the center has a few different departments, including research, trauma treatment and intervention, training of community partners, and then the CATS Project, which is where I work. The CATS Project does court-ordered risk assessments for children who've been maltreated, and a lot of times they may have a parent who has been offered a case plan through DCBS. And so for us to see them, that means the parent's making a little progress, but there are still some risk factors that have not been mitigated. And so my role as a team leader and clinician at CATS is to meet with the children and meet with the families and do a very in-depth, dimensionalized assessment of these families and spend a lot of time looking at records, doing collateral interviews with other professionals that have worked with the family, meeting the children, meeting the parents, going to their home, seeing how they interact together, interviewing the parents about their relationship specifically with each child. And then at the end of that process, which takes about 2 months for each family, my team gets together and we write up our procedures and then make a recommendation to the court. And so those recommendations would include placement, such as returning back to a parent or remaining in foster care and being adopted, but also treatment recommendations that are very specific to help that child recover.
One of the things that we've talked about on the show a lot and that, of course, has been in the news and on everyone's consciousness is the opiate epidemic.
Sure.
And I'm sure that this has to have impacted on your work over the last few years.
Absolutely. We see so many families that have been impacted by this and parents who their children have suffered because they have been unable to beat their addiction to opioids. So a lot of times in those situations, we'll see kids that have moved from different relative caregivers as the parent struggles to become sober, and then also in foster care. And we see that all the time. unfortunately.
I think of your work often when I see the statistics about opioid-related deaths, you know, drug intoxication, and we in forensics are fond of saying that's only the tip of the iceberg. Mm. What we don't see in our skewed population are the vast greater numbers of clients, patients that you must have to see and your colleagues have to see in the course of your practice.
Sure. It's really, it has torn through Kentucky and just devastated generations of families. A lot of times these are people who never intended to become addicted to opioids. It could have been dental surgery or a car accident that resulted in them being prescribed these medications, and then they become addicted, and then that becomes their primary concern. And other things, including kids, fall by the wayside when that happens.
Megan, is there anything we haven't touched upon regarding the Center for Trauma in Children that you would want our listeners to know about?
Well, again, I want to state we're a translational research center. We have the field inform our practice, and we really strive to have the work that we do and the research that we do have practical applications that can be used to improve lives of Kentucky's children. We also really focus a lot on secondary traumatic stress, STS. We have a model lab for that, and our executive director, Jenny Sprang, is internationally known for her work on identifying and intervening with STS to improve the functioning of foster parents who have a lot of direct, high-impact secondary trauma from hearing their foster children's stories, but also frontline workers and people who do, like what I do, helping us build longevity into this field by intervening with STS and working through it.
Well, that brings up one, I guess, last point that I would want to touch upon with you is that secondary trauma also applies to individuals such as you who are boots on the ground dealing with these issues every day. Are there discussions in the center or amongst your colleagues, either formal or informal, about coping strategies and ways of maintaining your own emotional health through all this?
Sure. It goes even far beyond conversations. We have very intentional practices set up in the clinic to ideally prevent STS, but also address it when it happens. And so that would include things like a daily debrief for the team clinicians to talk about the case and kind of leave it at work as we go home to transition into normal family life. So daily debriefs, highly skilled clinical supervision that's available to us every day as we work, which could be 5 minutes of, you know, I really need to talk, Dr. Sprang. And so we'll talk and she'll ask me questions that help me process what I've heard and prevents me from ruminating on it. So maybe she'll ask, how did you handle that situation? Or how did the child respond when you were having this conversation? Would you do anything differently? And then also, what can we do moving forward? What's an action step we can take, which helps prevent rumination on really heavy, painful things that we've heard. So we also, when we see clients for a week, we take the next week to write about it. So we have a lot of downtime to just wrestle with these big stories and with complex situations that we need to really flesh out and write a detailed, in-depth, very accurate report that considers all aspects of this family's functioning. So she has built in time for us to process what's happened. So we're not just seeing one client after another. We work through that client thoroughly and then move on to the next. It's really nice.
My thanks today to Megan Kohler, clinical social worker and clinician at the Center on Trauma in Children at the UK College of Medicine. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.